ins and outs of Christianity. I got a question for you. How are you doing living this Christian life? How are you doing with this Christian life? Are you doing as Paul challenged the Philippians here in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10? Are you discerning what is best and pure? Blameless for the day of Christ? That would be the day he would come back. All right, verse 11, are you filled with the fruits of righteousness? You know, the fruits of the Spirit, you know, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the goodness and the kindness and the self-control. Are you doing good with all that stuff? And then as we looked at last week a little bit, and you know, Paul encouraged the believers in chapter 2 there and in verse 2, are you being like-minded with each other? You can talk about the relationship between people, being like-minded with each other, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. And then it said, rather in humility, valuing others better than yourselves. Wow. Not looking to your own interests, but Paul said, each of you to the interest of others. How you doing in all that? That's a lot, isn't it? Well, it is a lot, okay? And that was why last week in verse 5, he said, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. There's a challenge for you. You're supposed to have the same mindset as Jesus Christ. And of course, we talked last week about he was God, okay, and he left the heavenlies to become a man. What a humble act on his part. That's humility. That'd be like us becoming an ant. Well, he left his place in the heavenlies, came here and became a man. And I told you he was fully God, fully man, but he gave up all of his prerogatives. He kind of veiled his God part. He literally became man. So, how you doing with your Christian walk? You ever feel like you're in a spiritual rut? Think about that. Ever wonder why you haven't grown spiritually? Are you covering the same ground in your Christian life and walk as you always have? Do you ever wonder why you're learning about Jesus, but you say to yourself, well, but I don't seem to be growing more like him? Maybe you're saying, I've been a Christian for years and, well, nothing's really changed. I don't feel any closer to Christ today than I did years ago. Maybe sometimes you feel like your life is kind of like one of these, up and down, up and down. Well, you know, the Christian life can be a series of ups and downs. But if we're to be like Christ, I'm here to tell you today, it should be more about ins and outs. Not ups and downs. We have those. But it should be about ins and outs. God works in us. And then we work out. In our text today, Paul challenges us to show how to live as Christians. And to develop the same humble mindset that Jesus had. And he shows us how to respond to do that. He shows us how to respond to the divine provisions that God has made available to us. So God has made provisions available to us to walk and live this Christ-like life. Look at the text today. I'm going to just look at verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, therefore, I'm just going to stop. Therefore has to do with some of the stuff that came before, and I've already mentioned some of the stuff where he talked about us discerning, you know, what's best and being filled with the fruits of righteousness and humility, considering others better than themselves, than ourselves. And then, of course, that also includes Christ's demonstration of humility, leaving the heavenlies. Therefore, he says here in verse 13, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Remember, he's in prison, chained to a Roman guard. Oh, he's in Rome, okay? But he says, not only in my absence, but now much more in my... not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. He says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. First of all, I want you to understand today, as I read those verses there, he is writing a letter to the church at Philippi. So they are Christians. There are already people who have a relationship with Christ Jesus. So if you have a relationship with Christ Jesus, you are supposed to be living your life as a Christian, or having a Christian walk, whichever way you want to word it, okay? He says here, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, first of all, I don't want anybody to think, oh, wow, I gotta work to earn my salvation. That's not what it's saying, okay? Okay, work out your salvation in fear and trembling. You're already a saved person, okay? And I know that because the Bible says, for it's by grace we have been saved. It's something that God did in us, okay? So you're not working to earn your salvation, okay? But you do work out your Christian life. You have to live it to its full completion. That's why I asked you earlier, how you doing with your Christian lives? It's a journey, friends. In Paul's day, when they would have used that term work out, they might have told the guys, go work out the mine. You get the idea. You go into the mine and you mine all the valuable stuff out. Or you might go out into the field and work the field. Work out the field. You bring in all the crops. Well, God wants us to, you know what God's purpose is for us? Talked about fulfilling his good purpose in verse 13. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son. He does. You know what? So how do we do this working out thing? Well, you know what? I want to just share with you how we don't do it. Some people think like, wow, you know, I go to church, I hear about Jesus Christ, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, I put my faith in Jesus, and now I just start growing as a Christian. It just happens because now I'm a Christian. Ain't like that. Or some people think, I put my faith in Christ, and just naturally over time, of course, I'm going to grow as a Christian. I'm going to become more mature as a Christian, just because time is going to do that for me because I put my faith in Jesus. That ain't happening either. Or some people think, well, it's an act of the will. I'll make myself a better Christian. No, that's not how it works either. It's like kind of like working that, you know, got to go work the mine and get the valuables out. God does want us to achieve Christ-likeness, but it doesn't just automatically happen because we believe in Jesus. It doesn't happen just because time goes by, and you just can't make yourself a better Christian. There are some things you can do. So work out your salvation. Yeah, we are to become more like Christ, but it says in verse 13, it is God who works in you. Remember, I told you this is not about ups and downs, this is about in and outs. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. You know what that means? God's got a purpose for your life. You're not just living this Christian life. Huh? God actually has got something for you to do. I don't know, I find that exciting. It's different for everybody. Your life has tremendous potential. You're like that mine where they go in and get all the valuables out. God's got something special for you. God wants to help you fulfill your potential. And I think one of the great things about the Christian life is that God's got that special plan for us. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, he's writing to the church in Ephesus, chapter 2, verse 10. He says that we're God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Wow. See, when you believe in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. You become God's workmanship to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. That's different for everybody. But God's got a plan for your life, and he wants to help you work it out, is what verse 13 says. And I want to tell you something today. Well, we don't have flowers yet. We will. Flowers are coming. Did you know that no two flowers are exactly alike? You knew that? I didn't know that. I learned that this week. I'm glad you knew it, okay? But, okay, I'll throw another one out at you because it snowed this week. Did you know they say that no two snowflakes are alike? You guys already knew that one too? I'm going to tell you, I knew that one already, but I wanted you to know today. So if the flowers aren't alike and the snowflakes aren't alike, why should two Christians be exactly alike? They're not alike either. God's got something very special for you in your life. But if we're going to find out what that special thing is, we all have to be more, learn to be more Christ-like. God, the book here says he wants us to be Christ-like. But listen to this. He also wants us to be ourselves. He does. He wants us to be Christ-like. But we all have our individual person. He also wants us to be ourselves. We just need to figure out what God wants us to do. Look at verses 14 and 15. Okay, it's going to help us a little bit. Okay, as far as working out our salvation and living this Christian life. Look at verses 14 and 15. Paul tells them, do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I like that. You got to remember, Paul's he's chained to the Roman prison guard in Rome. He's writing back to this place called Philippi. They're the church. He doesn't want them getting into arguments with each other. You mean God's people actually argue? Well, they do sometimes. Okay. He said, don't do it. He wants you to become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault. And he says, in a warped and crooked generation. Do you think you and I are living in a warped and crooked generation? Oh, boy. But God wants you to shine like stars. You know what he's really saying? You know what? He doesn't want them arguing, People who don't know the Lord, particularly unsaved people, will always find fault. But Christians, we're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be looking for the good. We're supposed to be finding the good. We do live in a twisted world. We really do. It's scary. But we're supposed to stand straight, try to do the things that the Bible is calling us to do, live by God's word, and you know what? And we're not ever going to get there, but Jesus is the perfect standard. But we're supposed to grow and continue out to live out our Christian life and try to be more like him. The world's a dark place. It is. If you don't know how dark it is, see me afterward. I'll just point out darkness to you. It's a dark place. But in the Bible here, Paul wanted them to shine like stars. That's what he said. Shine like stars. He wants you to shine like a star. He does. He wants us to shine out like stars, he said, so that we can hold out the word of life. So he wants us to shine like a star so we can hold out the word of life. He wants us to shine like a star so somebody will say, why are you like you are? And then you hold out the word of life. I'm like how I am because I'm a Christian and I believe in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I said that to somebody this past week and he just looked at me like, that's okay. I figured he's like about 90 going on 100 and he might die. So, I figure I'd just throw it out there because I don't know if he knows Jesus. And I figure I might not see him next week. Okay. But I did say that to him. He was thanking me for something. I said, I'm only like I am because of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who died on the cross for my sins is what I told him. I was trying to shine. So, I threw it out. Holding out the word of life. We got to let God achieve his purposes in our life. And I looked at that interaction with that man as being a divine interaction. And I said, I just took a chance and threw it out there and said, I don't know. Who knows what's going to come? Maybe he went home and said to his wife, who's also 90, I met this young man. He thinks I'm young. Met this young man. You know what he told me? And who knows? All of this is being done in a warped and crooked generation because it's dark out there. Here's the thing. In the Bible here, Paul does not tell them to retreat from the dark world. He didn't tell them to do that. He said, oh, you guys are Christians. You church at Philippi, stay away from all that darkness. Okay? Go into spiritual isolation. No. He didn't tell them to do that. He said, I want you to shine like a star. And here's the thing I want to tell you. You know what? Until you're confronted with problems in the generation you live, they had their problems then and we have them now. You can't become more like Jesus until you're willing to tackle problems. You got to be willing to deal with problems of life. You and I live in a real world here. But by trying to shine like a star and ministering to it, okay, we can impact it. Because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to bring our light into a dark world, not hide from the darkness. Now, I'm not telling you to go someplace that's bad, and don't get me wrong on this. But you can't avoid darkness in this world you and I live in. But you can be light to, if something comes up, you can be a, you can bring light to the darkness. Because God's got a purpose for your life, and He wants you to fulfill it. And only God knows what your purpose is. So, how are we supposed to work out this salvation with fear and trembling here? By the way, that fear and trembling thing doesn't mean literally fear. Okay. It just means like to take the Lord serious. Know that He has a plan for us. How are we supposed to work it out? How's it happen? What's the formula? Well, the formula is that God needs to work inside of us, and then He works through us and it comes out. That's verse 13. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to fulfill His good purposes. The principle is seen throughout the Bible. Look at the lives of different men in the Bible. You had this guy named Moses. Then David, you know, David and Goliath, the sling, you know, that guy. And you had all the different apostles. God had a special purpose for each of those guys to fulfill. And each purpose, you know, their purposes, every one of them was unique. Do you know that it took God 40 years to bring Moses to a place where he could lead the Israelites out of Egypt? That was God's purpose for Moses' life, but it took him 40 years to get him to that place. He had him 40 years out in the desert watching sheep. Yeah. But when he was watching those sheep during those 40 years, God was doing something inside of him. God was doing something in his life so that one day he would work through this guy named Moses. And of course, you know the story. He goes to Egypt, leads the people out, parting of the Red Sea. We all walk through, right? But here's what I want to tell you. God's more interested in the workman or the workwoman than He is the work. Say it one more time, Pastor. I will. God is more interested in the workman or the workwoman than He is the work. God wants something done. He'll get it done. But God might want to use you. God might want to use you. I think sometimes as Christians, we only obey God because of the pressures on the outside. There's, you know, pressures. Okay? Not God's power on the inside. We just feel pressured to do it. That's why in verse 12, Paul told them to work out their salvation. He said, verse 12, not only in my presence, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. He said that because he was basically saying, I don't need to be with you to have you be obeying the Lord. All the more reason now, even in my absence, I can't be with you. You should be obeying the Lord. He was reminding them, it's not my presence that's important. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And it's about your desire to obey God. That was what was important. So then he goes on after that. He says, I can't be with you. He says, work out that salvation. But here's today's big point. If you've missed the point, you're not alone. Living this life as a Christian, you're not alone. For it's God who works in you to will and to act according to whose good purpose? His good purpose. So basically, they were to surrender to the power of God. Let God work in them. Because you can stiff arm God if you want. Okay? You can. I don't recommend it. Because the power that works in the believer, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God. If you're really a believer, Holy Spirit comes in and dwells inside of you. But you can stiff arm God and quench the Holy Spirit working inside of you if you really want. You know, you can avoid doing what the things you're supposed to do if you really want. I know this is an old illustration, but I like that you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can take a nice juicy orange and throw it on a piece of blacktop in the summer when it's 85 degrees out, and then go try to eat that orange 3 days later. Ain't going to be much juice in it 3 days later on the hot blacktop. You can do that to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you can stiff arm God. Now, Jesus told His followers the Holy Spirit would live in you. That's John 14. In verses 15 to 17, He was telling His followers, because He was going to the cross. I'm not going to be with you much longer. But when I leave, the Counselor will come. The Advocate will come. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And he'll live inside of you. And you'll do even greater things than you've done, he told them. He told them in John 14:26, he will teach you and remind you of all things. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Teaches us and reminds us of all things. So, the power's there. But this question still remains, well, how do we use it? What tools does God use by His Spirit to work in our lives? I told you God's going to help us in this. What tools does God use by His Spirit to work in our lives? Wow. There are three tools God uses by His Spirit to work in your life. You know what one of those tools is? It's the Word of God. I said, well, God's going to work. I said, God in you so He can work out of you? Well, the Word of God. One of those tools is the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Paul writing to that church. He wrote a lot of these books, by the way. He wrote to them, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He said, we also thank God continually because you received the Word of God which you heard from us. You accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is, the Word of God. And then he said this, listen to this, the Word of God, he said, which is at work in you who believe. That's what he told them. So God's divine energy, His divine spiritual energy is released into our lives through the inspired Word of God. We have to learn the Word of God. Do you know that the Bible says that the Word spoke the world into existence? Jesus is the Word. He was the living Word. Okay, He spoke the Word. Now the Word is written about Him. He spoke the world. Go to Genesis. He spoke and things happened. He spoke the world into existence. So the same Word that spoke the world into existence can release divine power into our lives. This is the written Word. You know, you and I have a responsibility to appreciate what this is, the Word of God. Not just a book. Not just a book. The Word of God is unique. It's inspired. It's authoritative. It's infallible. It's inspired. It's from God. The Bible says that men wrote and they were carried on by the Holy Spirit. Men didn't just write this book. They were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I'll get to that verse later on. I'm just drawing a blank right now, but it's in there. So it's inspired. It's been inspired by the Spirit of God. It's authoritative and it's infallible. It's without error. If we don't appreciate God's Word, then its power won't energize us. Remember when I was first a Christian, I left my Bible at church and I got all freaky and got on the phone and called the pastor. Did you find my Bible? I got to find my Bible. Oh, it's in the office and I'll be down there in 20 minutes to get it. It was personal to me. But you can't, by the way, you can't pick and choose what you want to believe in here too. It's the whole thing. It all goes together. You don't pick and choose God's Word. You got to appreciate it. But you know what else you got to do? You got to appropriate it. You got to receive it. It's one thing to appreciate it. It's another thing to appropriate it, receive it into your life. It means you got to listen to it or even read it. Maybe study it. But you can do all that. Listen to it, you can read it, you can study it. But then you have to receive it. Oh, I know what it says. It says this and this and this. You going to do that? Nope. No, you got to receive it. It means to welcome it. Make it a part of your inner being. Receive God's Word. You receive God's Word like you would food into your body. I love to eat. Suzanne knows that. She had me over for dinner this weekend. Boy, was it good. And I eat. Okay. In fact, three helpings of mashed potatoes this week. Okay. But it was good. That was food. This is God's food here, though. So we got to appreciate it, we got to appropriate it and receive it, take it in, and we got to, you know what, then we got to apply it. We must apply the Word of God. Now, this only is going to work if you're already a believer in Jesus, okay? But here's the point. We got to trust God's Word and act on it. We got to trust God's Word, and then we got to act on it so that God's power is released in us. A lot of people know what it says, but they don't do what it says. You know, we got to trust God's Word. We got to act on God's Word. His Word teaches us how to live. Some people don't believe in His Word, but His Word teaches us how to live. You heard about the converted cannibal, right? Now your face is telling me you haven't heard about the converted cannibal. Well, there's this converted cannibal. He was in the South Sea Islands. He's sitting by a large pot, and he's reading his Bible. When an anthropologist wearing a pith helmet approaches him and says, "What are you doing?" The native replied, "Oh, I'm reading the Bible." The anthropologist scoffed and said, "Don't you know that modern civilized man has rejected that book? It's nothing but a pack of lies. You're wasting your time reading it." The cannibal looked at him from head to toe and slowly replied, "Sir, if it weren't for this book, you'd be in that pot." The Word of God had changed his life and his appetite. You know what? If you're serious about changing your life, you're going to have to live according to the Bible. You'll need to read it. You'll need to study it. You'll need to memorize some of it. You'll need to meditate on it. And when you've done all that, then you got to apply it. You got to apply it. For the Christian, it's faith in God's promises in this book that release His power into our lives. Do you believe, as the Bible says, that yet to all who received Him, meaning Jesus, to those that we become children of God? The Bible says that we become children of God. Do you know that God's your Father if you believe in Jesus? That's John 1:12. It's belief in the promises. The Bible says that once we can't lose our salvation. Once we start believing the promises of the Bible, okay, it allows us to then work out our salvation, meaning grow as a Christian. We grow as a Christian until the day of Christ Jesus. And the day of Christ Jesus, I'll remind you, is again when He either comes and gets you, or maybe you leave this earth and you go to Him first. Which either way, that's your day. So, yeah, one of the tools to help us live out this life is the Bible, God's Word. You know what the second tool is? Prayer. You got to pray. God uses that second tool to work in the lives of His believers. Again, I'm going to quote Paul, Ephesians 3:20. He was writing to that church there, and then he was talking about God. He said, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." He's praying for them. And in that prayer, he says, "Now to Him who is immeasurably able to do more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power," then he said, "that is at work within you." That was his prayer in his letter to the Ephesians. So he was just basically saying, God can do a whole lot in you. The power of prayer. By the way, prayer is you talking to God and then letting God talk back. I don't necessarily mean an audible voice. But you know what? You got something going on in your life? And just talk to God. It doesn't have to be eloquent. Just talk to God. Tell Him what's going on. Tell Him what the need is. Ask Him to work in your life. That's prayer. And then God will work in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, for the believer, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. So by praying, it helps us to work out our salvation. Why do you pray? Why do you talk to God? Which is basically saying, Lord, if you want to work in my life, you have my attention. Right now, this is going on. This is the need, and this is what I desire. And would you speak back to me? Answer my prayer. Answer my prayer. One of the ways the Spirit helps us in our prayer life is that, well, as a part of our scripture reading in Romans today, which was read here in the church earlier, in Romans 8, 26 and 27, sometimes we don't even know how we ought to pray. We don't know how we ought to pray. But it said that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. In other words, the Holy Spirit will help you to know what to pray. Now, I pray all the time. I don't usually pray to the Lord, though. Lord, the Yankees really need this game. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he might care about the Yankees, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? I let the Spirit kind of lead me. So I don't think he cares if the Yankees or the Red Sox win. Okay, I really don't, but, you know. Now, if I pray that, you know, help none of the players to get hurt, he might care about that. But no, the Spirit will intercede and help us to know how to pray. You go look, read the book of Acts, and I'm not telling you now, I'm just saying just in general, okay? That prayer, you know, the early church, they prayed all the time. And it was a source of spiritual power. You go look at Acts 1:14, or go look at Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. Powerful, powerful, powerful. I gotta go look at that for a minute there. I just quoted that. There's a verse there, and Acts 4:31. This is the church was praying. It says in verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow. I don't know if it was shaken because the people were so excited. I just know they got filled with the Spirit. And then people started going out and sharing the word of God. People got excited. So you pray, the Spirit will work inside and things happen. But they were joined together in prayer and the place was shaken. Shaken? I mean, like literally? I mean, people were, they were excited. They boldly proclaimed the Word of God. So God's Word and prayer go together is what I'm trying to tell you. So we're to take time in prayer. We're to take time in prayer if God is to work through us. I'm always telling you, and I got to remind myself sometimes, get up in the morning saying, I'm a busy guy. Are you busy? I'm a busy guy. I'm going to tell you right now. Okay? I'm a really busy guy. Sometimes I dive into my stuff, though, and I say, wait, Pastor. You're always telling the church this. I say, stop. I say, Lord, good morning. That's what I do. See, I'm talking to God. Lord, good morning. I forgot you this morning, but good morning. This is what we got going on today, Lord. Okay? God's word and prayer go together. And sometimes we forget to pray. But there's a third tool. I told you, how are we going to, you know, work out our salvation here, you know, with fear and trembling? Well, there's a third tool to do it. Okay, and that third tool, you know what the third tool is? It's suffering. Yeah, you didn't want to hear that, did you? Yeah. Not in this text here, but later on in this letter, in the fourth chapter, in the 13th verse, Paul, this is all part of this letter. He's going to tell them, I told you it's a joy letter. He says, rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Wow, boy, bring the suffering on, right? But that's what he said. Rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Listen to this. I'm talking about sufferings of Christ. Sometimes you may have to suffer because of your faith. You will. Yeah. Do I have to illustrate that? You know, you're a new Christian, and you know the guys are all going out, and they all want to go to the strip club. And you say, "I'm not going." Well, why not? because I'm a Christian and I don't really believe that's a place I should be at. Try that one when you're with eight guys, okay? But, you know, the point is, the Spirit of God will work in a special way in the lives of those who suffer for the glory of God. In some way, shape, or form, there's going to come a time when you might be ostracized for your faith, you know, my silly illustration, or some other way. You go through what the Bible, we call a fiery ordeal. But you know what, when you go through stuff, Jesus suffered in the Bible. He did. They mocked him. They spit on him. They beat him. They whipped him. They put some crowns, they put thorns in his head, and they covered his eyes, and they beat him and said, "Well, tell us who's hitting you? I don't expect you to go through that, but when you go through stuff, especially when you're willing to do it for your Lord and Savior, that's how you become more like Jesus. So you tell them, "I'm not going to the strip club." And you know what what happens? You just broke the group up. Because now you go out with some of the guys, and the other guys go where they're going to go, and you don't go with them, and you go do what you're going to do. But it ain't at the strip club. You might get made fun of a little later on. But think about the Apostle Paul here. He's writing back to this church. When he was in Philippi, he wound up in their jail. He did. He was in their jail. They locked him up. And then all of a sudden the place was shaking, and the gate came open to his prison cell. In fact, the gate came open to all the prison cells, and all the prisoners could escape. So the Roman guard, you know what the Roman guard was going to do? He was going to take his sword, and he was going to do this. And Paul said, "Don't do it. We're still here. Don't harm yourself. We're all here." That's verse 28. He told the guard, 16:20, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." Paul was in jail going through something. God used that. Used him being in jail. Something special happened. You know what special happened? Well, here's what special happened. Paul did not run away. And when the Roman guard, because they listen, if the prisoners escape, you're going to get killed anyways. He's about to kill himself. The Roman guard looked at Paul and said, "I broke his heart." He said, "You're still here?" He broke his heart. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" That's what the Roman guard asked him. "What must I do to be saved?" So Paul's in jail, but out of that, the prison guard gets saved, because they don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ. So how's God work in our life so we can walk or live this Christian life? He does it through the Word of God. He does it through prayer, and He does it through suffering. Those are the three tools that God uses by the power of the Spirit to work out our salvation. Kind of like electricity. You know how like electricity has got to go through the conductor, and that's kind of how the Holy Spirit works. He works through the different means. He's not the conductor, but he works through the means that God has provided. And the means that God has provided is the Word and prayer, and sometimes we might go through suffering. So, as Christians, if you read the Word of God, you're becoming a little bit more like Christ. More like Christ. And then, as a Christian, you might go through some... I mean, you're not going to get locked up in a Philippian jail, but you might go through some daily sufferings, and, you know, might even get made fun of for your faith at some time, but you know what? You'll be stronger for it. You'll grow like Christ. You know what those little daily sufferings do? When we go through stuff, when maybe we get made fun of or mocked or something, it just drives us back to the Word of God. It does. Into prayer. So all three tools are kind of working together. You're reading the Word of God, you're praying, and then you go through an experience. And, you know, it doesn't have to even be that. How about the rain still falls? You know, when the rain comes down, it falls on God's people too. Did you know that? God's people still get sick. They do. Sometimes God's people get sick and they die. They still die. But if they're God's people, we know where they're going, right? But, you know, you go through stuff and you pray, and sometimes God heals. You're still here. That's God working. And then everybody's praising God that you're healed. I know a guy who had a cerebral hemorrhage, and they said he's not making the night. They said he won't be here tomorrow morning. The church prayed that night. He's still here. He's still here. I lost track of that young man about 15 years ago or so. Maybe it was longer than that. Let's see, yeah. Yeah, probably closer to 18, 19 years ago. I was in this church, standing behind a pulpit, filling the pulpit. And you know who walked through the door? That kid who was supposed to be dead walked through the door of this church I was just filling in. He had a big scar on his head. But when he walked in, guess what was right there? His wife was right there. And they walked in. And I said, Jimmy Cole! Okay. How exciting was that? Because he didn't die. The church prayed and he lived. So God works in amazing ways. But you know, we got to be like Christ and have that, like Paul, and have that mindset. It's all a mindset. And I got to getting long-winded. I got to kind of cut it short for your sake. There's a promise to believers here. You know what the promise is? The promise is verses 16 to 18. And it says here, as you hold firmly to the word of life. Let me pick it up in the end of verse 15. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then you will be able to boast on the day of Christ Jesus that I did not run or labor in vain. And then Paul says, but even if I'm being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Wow. You know what? We're supposed to hold firmly to this word of life. And that says that if we do that, on the day of Christ Jesus, we'll be able to boast. It says here, we'll be able to boast on the day of the Lord that we did not run or labor in vain. If you died today and you were in heaven, you'd know you didn't run or labor in vain. You would. So that's the promise to those who believe. And you know, I like how Paul reinforced it too. Because in verse 17 he said, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. You know, in the Old Testament they would offer up these sacrifices to the, you know, this is Old Testament, Christ hasn't even come yet. They would offer up these sacrifices on the altar. They literally would burn an animal. That's what they were doing. Okay, and it was an act of devotion to the Lord, and you know, the blood of the animal was shed because the Bible says in the Old Testament that there needs to be shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. So they would offer these sacrifices. It was kind of a picture of Christ who was to come in the New Testament, who would ultimately shed his blood on the cross for our sins. That's the significance of Christ. Well, in the Old Testament they were offering these sacrifices, and then they would take like a pitcher and they would pour water on the offering. They call it a drink offering. So I like how Paul ends this, because he says, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith. Okay. Paul is a fancy way of Paul saying, I don't care that I'm locked up with a Roman prison guard right now in Rome here. Because you're the church. You're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am glad to give my life. I will pour my life out like a sacrifice on the altar if it means people will know Jesus. And he says, you too should be glad and rejoice with me. Aren't you glad that God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on the cross for your sins? Aren't you glad that when you live in this life here now that the Spirit indwells inside of you and you don't live it alone? Yeah, we go through stuff. Stuff still happens. But here's the thing. And don't miss this today, Christians. Because because I asked you how you doing living out this Christian life. God's got a plan for you. You're part of God's plan. One day, Jesus came once. He's going to come again. If you don't die and go to Him first, if you're a Christian, He's coming back. If He came once, can't He come a second time? You bet He can. But in the meantime, God's working out a plan. You know, all the stuff going on in the world, God's still in control. God's still in control. If God wants to have a revival at some church in Indiana, because they were talking about that a week ago, revival, and it was crazy. People were going to this church and just lifting up, singing to the Lord, and some people were confessing sin, and you know, God's still in control here. God still wants more people to know Jesus. But guess how He's going to get to those people? He uses other people. God's got a plan for your life. You might be part of God's plan and do things for the Lord that you'll never know you did in this lifetime until you get to heaven. You'll get there and we'll be in heaven and we'll be talking and somebody will say, do you remember that time that you went and you did this and you said that? Well, I want you to know that that person then professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it exciting to be a Christian? I think so. So I'm going to just encourage you today. Keep learning God's word. You know, appreciate it, appropriate it. Pray. Talk to God. You got something on your mind? You're angry? Well, tell God you're angry then. I did once, but He answered the prayer. That's how I got saved. But I had to tell Him I was angry first. So read God's word. Tell Him what's on your mind with prayer. What was the last one? Suffering. Thank you. I did a good job. Somebody remember suffering. Just be ready, be willing to suffer. I pray you don't suffer, though. All right. Pray you don't suffer. Lord bless you all. Until next week.